Secretary for the President of the United States. Mr. Snow, good to talk to you again. Welcome
Mr.
to COVID.
Mr. Larson, how you doing?
Doing well. The big question for you is, how you doing a day after your big birthday?
I'm doing fine, yeah, and thank you for the birthday greetings. I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, there was no gift, but the sentiment's there. You know?
Well, the sentiment is a gift.
are there moments where you go, what the heck did I get into?
No. I love the job. I think the most daunting thing is just the learning curve you have to undergo. I got a question today from a Washington Post reporter trying to get me to react between what he saw as a perceived discrepancy to a speech delivered 2 years ago in a position. You know, I can't answer that. I don't know yet.
What's so refreshing about you. You go out there sometimes and go, listen, you know, I don't know that yet. I'm the new guy. Let me get back to you.
Yeah, and that's what we do. We've attached, I think, a couple of if I don't know an answer during a press briefing and I can get it, we'll send out a copy of the transcript and we'll have little asterisks at the bottom that have the answers.
Well, now, where do you go for your briefings, Tony?
Well, a little bit of everywhere. I mean, I meet with the National Security Advisor every morning. I attend senior staff meetings, which have, you know, everybody who runs a staff office here at the White House. Regularly run all around the building and next door at the executive office building to try to track down answers to stuff. This is kind of a reporting job, Mark, and that's what's interesting about it. A few minutes ago, for instance, I was calling somebody over at the State Department about some diplomatic thing and relaying the answer to a reporter here.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives me a chance just to learn a lot of stuff. Very interesting job, very stimulating, tons of variety. And
some occasional
time to get up to speed.
Yeah, some ne'er-do-wells out there, too. Do you ever have times when you think, God, you got me through the cancer. Why do I have to bear up and live with Helen Thomas? She's going to live to be 214.
Well, she is going to outlive all of us, you know. But, you know, Helen and I have known each other for years, and actually we've had some fun, believe it or not. We've had some moments where we just sit there and enjoy a good laugh. So I think one of the things that I've been working to do is to establish a sense of being serious at the press conferences and at the same time also, you know, relax a little bit. I mean, have a little more civility, and I think so far we're doing all right.
Well, a lot of things on the plate this week, I know, and you've got some limited time with us, and certainly the huge story is that of illegal immigration, the fact that the governor of California is now on the proper page here in terms of National Guard. I want to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But first up, let me get your take on what's going on and around in terms of the way that now there's some negotiation, some discussion, at least that's in process, or some people have said, you know, critics have called it playing patty cake with Ahmadinejad. What's next on that front?
Well, what's next is over the weekend, Javier Solana, who's the, I don't know what his official title is, but he's, you know, the chief guy over at the European Union, will present to Iranian diplomats a copy of the package of incentives and disincentives. The key is whether Iran agrees to suspend its nuclear enrichment related programs and also its uranium reprocessing. So if Iran says yes, all sorts of good things happen. If Iran says no, there are going to be some disincentives. And they're just, so that's the next step, is for them to get the package. There's been a lot of talk, you know, on the sidelines from some of the Iranians, and I take that for what it is. It's kind of an opening gambit in the negotiation. But on the other hand, as a Russian diplomat has said today to one of my former colleagues at Fox, the Iranians really ought to wait till they see the package before they start characterizing it.
Mm.
So none of the early reactions all that surprising. I think what's going to be interesting is not even what happens Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, you know, after they've had chances to take a look at what's in the package, but maybe another week or two down the road, because that's when Iran's going to have to make some real serious decisions.
But how do we trust him? I mean, you got a guy who may very well have had the students there as part of the captors back in 1979. How do we trust him?
Yeah, but you know, it goes back to 79. You go back to Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. You know, you have the place crawling with IAEA inspectors. I guarantee you every intelligence agency, not only, you know, in the West, but around the world, interestingly, a growing coalition of countries alarmed by Iran's claims that it wants to develop the capacity to build nuclear weapons. That includes Saudi Arabia and Egypt. It includes India. I mean, there are a lot of people in the neighborhood who also, I'm sure, are going to be dispatching some intelligence assets to keep an eye on what's going on there.
White House Press Secretary Tony Snow with us live from the White House here on News Radio 600 KOGO. On the incident in Haditha, the alleged abuses there, and of course today, more reports out there. I'm sure some of the bad guys are trying to figure out how to make anything look like it's our fault now. How surprised was the president about that report? Was it a case, as has been reported, that, you know, you look at the March edition of Time magazine and, ooh, didn't know that was going on. Let's get into it.
No, he was informed about a week before. I think the Time magazine issue came out on March 19th, and the president got his first briefing, I think, along about the 11th or 12th. So, no, he wasn't. Look, these are allegations. Now, what's interesting, I suppose, or maybe not interesting, our hands are tied. I can't go too far other than to repeat what the president said yesterday, which was he's troubled by the allegations. If you go into any more detail, you talk about reactions or anything else. The president, of course, is the guy who's in the chain of command. This is a military proceeding, an inquiry into the allegations. And anything that may be construed as trying to shape opinion or shade it, you know, falls within the chain of command and can completely spoil any attempts, should they become necessary,
well, it's
in
not,
prosecution.
Yeah, it's not helpful to the prime minister of Iraq, who we've helped get into the spot he's in now, is out there making it sound today as if we're abusing people right and left.
No. I'm assured that he was referring to something entirely different. There's a bit of a translational snafu there. In addition, he had a meeting today with our ambassador, Zal Khalilzad, and General Casey, who obviously is leading operations over there. And they had a good meeting. And I talked to Ambassador Khalilzad, so I'm not just getting this through intermediaries. And the one thing that they all agree on is that it's important to figure out how to help Iraq get its security, eventually get the American troops out when Iraq is ready to stand up. The Americans have assured the prime minister that there's a vigorous investigation into there are three different sets of allegations now about bad behavior, and they're looking into all of them, and they're going to share the results of the inquiry with the prime minister. So I think everybody's satisfied. And at this end, the president kind of likes the fact that the Iraqi prime minister seems to be a man of action. The other day he went down to Basra, which has had its sense of danger in recent days. And he went down there and said, we're going to put troops in here and we're going to squash the bad guys. That's good. I mean, he's doing what you want for a leader. He's assuming responsibility. He's taking charge. He's being aggressive. All good things. And I think the most important takeaway is the two governments are getting along pretty well. And whatever difficulties they have, as governments always do, they're going to iron out.
Tony Snow with us, the White House press secretary here on News Radio 600 KOGO. How long did it take to get Arnold Schwarzenegger to come around on the National Guard issue? It was like a 17-day standoff. Was there arm twisting?
No, it wasn't really, because, Governor Schwarzenegger always had the option of taking or not taking the National Guard units. I mean, the federal government was going to pay the freight for National Guard forces to come in and help relieve Border Patrol agents of some duties that took them away from their primary obligation, which is to enforce the borders, to do apprehension and detention. So, I mean, he could have said no, and he could have explained to the California voters why he didn't want that extra help. But I think the governor's been on board for some time. One of the frustrations, I think, that he and others had was that there was an inability to consult in advance before the president gave a speech a couple of weeks ago, simply because to do that is to risk having everything leak out. You don't want to do that. So there had been some general staff contacts, but the governor, I think the first real conversations with the governor took place in subsequent days. And after that happened, after everybody got a chance to touch base, it became clear it was a pretty good deal for him, and obviously he took it. I don't know if he signed the papers yet, but all of the stuff is there. And
he's not going to support the idea for, till further notice. He's got there's a little finality to it as he sees it, right? It's not an open end.
You mean for the National Guard stuff?
Right.
Well, I think we've got I don't know if we've now announced exactly what the window is, but we're going to have it up to full force up by August 1st. And the idea is within, a couple of years or so to have the Border Patrol beefed up. I mean, we're talking about 2 years from now, having doubled the overall size of the Border Patrol since the president took office to about 18,000.
Okay, now, Tony, this is the holy grail. This is the topic above all other topics. And I got to tell you, as much as I support this president, what I'm hearing from people who I respect, strong Republicans over the years, they're saying things like this. privately. They said, I'm really tired of defending the president on this. I'm trying to back him up on this, but I can't go for anything that smells like amnesty. And
yeah, here's the deal. Can somebody define for me what is not amnesty? Tell me what is an
amnesty. That would be enforcing the existing laws, wouldn't it?
Well, the existing law, the law in 1986 declared it a misdemeanor to cross the border and didn't specify a punishment. So how do you enforce that?
So it's not a felony? Aren't there other laws that...
No, it's not a felony. I mean, so what has happened is that some people... that was the initial problem that you had. Now, I want to tell you, Mark, I am not an expert on this, and I'm trying to get a full legal readout. I am sure because, when people are crossing the border now, we're sending them right back.
But then some of them are coming back, Some of them turn right around and come right back again.
But did you know that the number of border crossings illegal border crossings from Mexico has been declining for each of the last 6 years? Did you know that?
I would have to trust but verify your numbers.
Yes, it's a trust but verify. And the fact is, the more Border Patrol agents you get there, the more you're going to have it discouraging it. What also is interesting is that apparently now an increasing. That was interesting.
No, that was a mystery something there.
Something. Yeah, an increasing percentage of those who are crossing are exactly the kind of people you're talking about. The people who try and try and try again. And they're folks that we're going to have to work hard on getting. In any event, I don't know what what the president has said is that for certain people who have been here a considerable amount of time, you got to figure out what you're going to do with them. And I don't know very many people, even in California, say, well, let's deport them all. As a practical matter, it's not possible. So what do you do that makes sense? And here is the president's proposal. He says, okay, what you got to do is first, when you break a law, you got to make sure that somebody's punished for it. That's the theory. You break the law, you pay a punishment.
So that would be for the illegals coming across and employers who are not following the rules.
Correct. Now, but for the illegals right now, what you say is, because some employers are going to be able to say, about past indiscretions, well, wait a minute, they gave me this slip of paper and they may have some deniability on it, but the illegals don't. They don't have deniability because if you get a fake ID, you get a fake ID. But the president says, okay, you've got to pay. You've got to acknowledge that you owe a debt to society. You start off with a fine, and you figure out what the proper fine is. That's what part of the legislative process is about. Secondly, pay back taxes. Third, submit yourself to regular background checks. Fourth, you have to get an ID that has biometric identification. We want to know who you are, and we're going to be able to know where you are. You have got to be taking a legitimate job with a legitimate employer. If you don't remain employed, and if you break the law, the Senate bill says 3 misdemeanors, 1 felony, you're out of here. Again, all of those things are subject to debate. But the point is, that's how you begin. Now, after you've done all this stuff, you also actually pay some additional costs when it comes to re-entering the legal and normal procedures for becoming a citizen. At that point, you go to the back of the line. You wait a few years. Then you get in, and you wait 5 or 6 years after that. The estimate is, in some cases, 11 years or more before anybody's able to raise their right hand and to have English language requirements. So you put all that together, it doesn't sound like amnesty to me. The group of people who will have done this will have waited longer, will have paid more, will have paid taxes for an extended period of time, will have paid Social Security for an extended period of time, will have obeyed the law, will have contributed to the economy, will have done the kinds of things. In other words, we're making it hard to become an American citizen. And this is why I have trouble with the characterization of amnesty, because everybody seems to be acting as if the president's doing what happened in 1986, which is to say, forget about it.
What about a wall? What about the border wall? That's part of the plan as it's discussed and how it came out of the Senate.
You put a wall where you need it.
Do we have to run that by Mexico first to make sure they're swell with the idea?
No. And the president's been clear about that. The president has said, we're going to do what's necessary. We do what is in our security interest. Now, there are places in Southern California, you guys are going to get a lot of wall because it's an urban corridor, a lot of people coming across, and it makes sense there. I was in Yuma, Arizona a couple of weeks ago with the president. Border Patrol agents showed me this rugged mountainous area. He said, you can't build a fence there and it doesn't make any sense. He said, what you need there is you need like sensors and surveillance stuff because as people come trooping through, you can light them up, you can find them, and you can get them. They've got these things they call sand rails, which you may have seen the president riding around in one. It's a really souped-up dune buggy. They go really fast, and they got great suspensions, and apparently the sand doesn't eat them up alive. Mm-hmm. It's very cool, so they go chase them down on those. In some places, you're going to need Border Patrol agents. Yuma's another area where within a span of a few miles, you actually have all three. You've got three layers of fencing in some areas. A little further down, you don't quite need the fence because there's long, flat, unpopulated terrain. And in some places, you just use sensors because it's mountains and stuff. So the proposal here is figure out what you need at various points along the border and put it in.
And then move, we're not still talking about this 6 or 8 years down the line. We've already overstayed the welcome here. I know. I appreciate the gracious allotment of your time, Mr. Snow, very much. I'll get emails now from the White House. You kept him longer than 10 minutes!
Trey Bond is now.
He's glaring.
He's got a little doll. Yeah. It's a Larson doll. It's got the big hair and the whole bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, thanks. The White House press secretary picking on my hair. You as a person of hair. say hello to your lovely wife.
My age and you still look 5 years.
I know, and you got to 51 2 months before I did as you hit your birthday yesterday. And by the way, I was over, as you know, I was in Fox. Thanks for letting me use your studio all the time before they stripped it from you. The day that you announced you're going to the White House, they took down the Tony Snow stuff off that wall. So I couldn't believe how quickly Griff and the people turned.
Well, no. Actually, that was the cheesy. Did you see that stuff? They had that cheesy rubberized stuff.
I would always sit in front of that, you know.
I'm glad they did it. It's aesthetically better to have a bare wall than to have that.
Well, good luck. Watch your back there and say hello to Jill at home and good luck to the family.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you. All right, Tony Snow, White House press secretary, picking on my hair.